Welcome to the most listened to golf in the world, the Fairways of Life show, on air, online, and around the world, with the most candid interviews, unforgettable stories, taking you beyond the ropes. Here's your host, New York Times best-selling author, Matt Adams.
Years and years from now, Mr. Palmer, what do you want the legacy of Arnold Palmer to be?
Well, I suppose just that I have made a contribution to the game to help make it a little better.
Is that not incredible? What's going on, everybody? Welcome into the program. Matt Adams here with you. Andrew and Dom are behind the glass. So that is a tiny clip from an interview that we did with Mr. Palmer. It ended up being, sadly, shortly before he passed away. We think it was the last full long-form interview that he ever did. And we're going to have more of it coming up for you. But I love that piece because it showed the humility of the man who made such a major impact on the game. And this week, of course, the Arnold Palmer Invitational, where everybody will be at Bay Hill, and rightfully so. It will very much be about the man himself and the golf course that he absolutely loved, who plays regularly, is one of the most difficult on the PGA Tour. What a week of golf that it was behind us. I had an absolute ball. I was working for PGA Tour Live for the Cognizant Classic in the Palm Beaches. I thought it was great to see Austin Eckroat emerge, ascend to victory. Another one of these young guns that has fulfilled the promise. He did it in his 50th start. Can you imagine that? In his 50th start, he ends up winning on the PGA Tour. Joaquin wins again. We're going to be talking about that as well. And we will also be talking about the fact that he is apparently on his way to another major championship. Rex Hoggard on NBCSports.com with that report. Hannah Green wins. She had a 27-foot birdie putt to secure her victory on the LPGA Tour. And what I love about this photo is look at Andrea Lee cheering her on. Fist in the air, cheering her on with that victory. And before we went on the air, Dom, did you end up making this the question of the day, or what did you decide to do?
No, I did. It's totally the question of the day. It needs to be the question of the day. And it's an interesting question, which is, should you cheer on your playing partner? Should you
right.
be doing that?
And how do you guys feel about that? Do you think that if you're a professional tour player and you see something extraordinary happen, like Nick Dunlap had his first ever hole-in-one at the 7th at PGA National, right? First ever on the PGA Tour. And, you know, I saw his playing partners giving him high fives, low fives, congratulating him. Is that okay? You know, I'm not saying it's cheering, but I remember seeing the video from the 1970 Open when Doug Sanders missed that putt that would have won the Open. Of course, then he went into playoff the next day and got crushed by Jack Nicklaus. And you could see, if you ever get a chance to see the video, go on to YouTube, look it up. He spins, Lee Trevino spins in the background away from it. And when I saw him at St. Andrews for the 150th Open, I asked Mr. Trevino, I said, I got to start here. With all the success you've had in the Open, multiple-time Open champion, back-to-back, et cetera, but I got to ask you a question about 1970 because it took place in the property we were walking on. I said, I saw you spin away. And he was like, yeah. He's like, Doug should have walked away. Doug should have walked away and reset and stepped back in and hit the putt. I don't know whether that's necessarily cheering on, but it's definitely reacting to something your opponent's doing that's not going to help you one way or the other. So if you want to vote on the question of the day, log on to the Fairways of Life YouTube channel. When you're there, make sure you subscribe so you're part of our posting. We post content nonstop. So whatever you're looking for in the world of golf to hear from, you're probably going to find it on our Fairways of Life YouTube channel as well. But make sure you subscribe when you're there so you're part of our giveaways and everything else that we are doing. A Tiger was named the recipient of the USGA's 2024 Bob Jones Award. So congratulations to Tiger Woods with the announcement of that. I believe it was their annual meetings at the USGA we're having this week. Now, to this conversation about Arnold Palmer and this incredible impact that Mr. Palmer has had on the world of golf, check this out. He was part of the inaugural World Golf Hall of Fame class, 1974. 95 professional wins, 62 of which were on the PGA Tour, which still stands as fifth all time. He won 7 major championships. He won the Masters 4 times. He was a 2-time Open champion. Of course, he won the U.S. Open in 1960. That was at Cherry Hills. He drove the first green. He won the Bob Jones Award in 1971, the Old Tom Morris Award in 1983, PGA Tour Lifetime Achievement Award in 98, Payne Stewart Award in 2000, 703 PGA Tour starts, 155 top five finishes. Do the math on that one for a second. 22% of the time, he was in the top five. And what's amazing about that is when you realize that golfers don't just retire at their prime, they continue to play. So if you took a stat like that and put it into winning years, which his last win year was 1973, if memory serves, and did it from the time he joined the tour to 1973, that percentage would be even more impressive, is what I'm saying. So in that interview that we did with Mr. Palmer, I love to talk to players about their background and their influences and their families, and I asked him about the impact of his father, Deacon, who's legendary because of and through his son, too. And Mr. Palmer spoke about when he was a young kid and he was full of energy and conviction. This is what he did, and his father's reaction was such. Here you go.
Well, I was playing in a junior tournament. I was 16, and I was playing pretty good. And I was playing the mayor of Pittsburgh's son, Waddell, and I missed a short putt on the 17th hole, and I turned and let the putter fly, and over a row of trees, and my father was there, and as it turned out, I holed the putt on the last hole to win the match, and I got in the car to go home with my family, and it was dead silent. There was not a sound, and I expected something, at least nice going or something. The next thing I heard was the chewing out. And if you ever do that again, you'll never play golf as long as you live in my house. And that was my father talking, and he was very serious.
Did you ever throw a club again?
Well, maybe a little pitch, but not real bad. That taught me a lesson.
Is that great from Mr. Palmer? So the interview just was amazing because we're in this tiny little house that was that to the left of the 18th green at Bay Hill, his beloved Bay Hill. And I remember it was a typical Florida day, you know, the Sunshine State, and the sun was just beaming. And this house was this little tiny house. It had a galley kitchen. You could tell where the dining table was one time an outside porch. You could see the slate stone, and someone had enclosed it just to give us a tiny bit more space in there for whoever was one time living in this house. And behind it was a little sitting room. You could kind of see it. Andrew, could you go to the picture that you have frozen up on our preview screen? And you can see that room, the space behind Mr. Palmer. There's a clock back there, and there's a little couch and chair, and it's a TV room. That's a room behind him. That's not even the room that we're in. And it was a tiny little room in there. It was maybe, I'd guess, 10 by 10, 6 by 6, something like that. It was small. And we had a high back chair where Mr. Palmer was sitting. And other than that, that was pretty much a house. There may have been one other room, one other bedroom, but if there was, it was tiny. And we could hear, you know, we were there early, had the camera set up and all the rest. It was just one camera on Mr. Palmer. I didn't want a camera on me at all. It was just about him. And we could hear the door jiggling, and we knew someone was coming. It was a little hallway led down to the front door because the way they had built the garage into the house, into the framing of the house. So the door opens and it's Florida, right? So the sun comes through beaming down this dark hallway like a laser beam. And we're wondering, it's, you know, somebody helping Mr. Palmer, what have you. And it was unmistakably his silhouette. And he was coming down the hallway. His movement at this point in his life was labored. But none of us dared ask Mr. Palmer if he needed any help, right? And so he comes to the chair, that high back chair I was telling you about, and he kind of, boom, rumps down into it. And he's sitting there, and you know, our team is starting to buzz around him with things that they need to do, microphones and boom mics and lighting and all that. And he's looking around like this. And at the time, I would venture to say that Mr. Palmer was still probably making, he was at least making multiple millions of dollars a year in endorsements in his business ventures. If I had to guess, I would say probably 20, 30 million a year. He could live any place he wanted, whatever castle that he wanted for the king. And he just was looking around. And he said to no one in particular, in a low voice, he said, "I used to live in this house." And he said, "I'm thinking about moving back in again." And it was just incredible. And again, it was a reflection of the humility of Arnold Palmer and obviously the lasting impact that he has left on the game of golf. Excited about the API this week. As to Austin Ekroth and his victory, he won his first PGA Tour victory, as I mentioned, in his 50th start. He did it. Here you go. 25 years, 1 month, and 21 days. He is the fourth first-time winner in nine events this season of the PGA Tour. Of course, the others, Nick Dunlap at the American Express, Matthew Pavone at the Farmers Insurance Open, Jake Knapp at the Mexico Open at Vedanta. He moves from 94 to number 17 in the FedEx Cup and qualifies for this week's API presented by MasterCard via the Aon Next 10, which I want to get into with you so you can see who's qualified for those categories, not only the Next 10, but the Aon Swing 5 as well. He did hold a one-stroke lead when play was suspended due to darkness on Sunday and completed 11 holes yesterday in that 2-under mark of 67 to secure his victory. Becomes the youngest tour winner this season and youngest since Ludvig Åberg, 24, at the 2023 RSM Classic. He finished number three in the inaugural PGA Tour University rankings in 2021, earning direct access on the Corn Ferry Tour after completing his college career at Oklahoma State, becoming the second PGA Tour University alum to win on the PGA Tour, joining Åberg. That point about him being the youngest as a tour member, I think that the qualification should be made there to add to the notes that I have received. He recorded four top tens and 32 starts during his rookie season on tour. Last year, his previous best finish was tied for second at the CJ Cup at Byron Nelson. He improves to 1-for-2 when holding a 54-hole lead or co-lead because of the aforementioned. He led the field in total birdies with 23. Very, very impressive indeed. Okay, so after he finished up, he had a chance to address the media, and the question that has to be asked, just first PGA Tour win, to do it in as few starts as he had, how are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm really not sure how I feel yet. I haven't really settled down, but just super excited, and you know, I've been waiting for this moment my whole life, and I really don't have a whole lot of words for it right now, but super excited. Yeah, I mean, he's the one that got me involved in the game, my dad is, and he's, you know, he's been my swing instructor since. He might be, I'm the second most excited person in the world right now. He's definitely the first. It's just been, you know, it's been our dream, his and I's together since I was, you know, three, is playing professional golf and winning it on the PGA Tour. So it's just a dream come true for both of us, yeah. I think 15, with where the wind direction was and the number I had, it wasn't that uncomfortable for me at that moment, where the, you know, if I would have been struggling with my ball striking, I think that would have been really one. But having to hit 3 wood today on 16, I didn't really love the idea of that because I'd been hitting 3 iron all week. And then the wind direction was different this morning. It was into the wind, so I felt like I needed to hit 3 wood, and that was just a little uncomfortable. But definitely the shot on 17. 17's the most, you know, scariest tee shot I think of the year. I mean, it's a tough one.
You looked cool and calm throughout that stretch. Is that how you felt on the inside?
No, I was shaking my boots from the moment I got out here this morning. So, I just tried to keep a calm demeanor. I think I do pretty well at that in all aspects whenever I'm playing bad or good. But I definitely didn't feel calm on the inside, that's for sure.
Is that something you actively think about? Staying calm, staying even keel. Your dad said you definitely don't get that from him. So is that something you're actively working on the golf course? Is it just kind of something about your personality where it just comes natural?
No, I think that's just something about my personality. It just comes natural. I'm that way in everyday life, not just you know, on the golf course is just pretty stoic, never too high, never too low. So I think it's a blessing in golf, though.
Really cool. Very, very cool indeed. And congratulations to Austin Eckroat. I had a chance to meet him a couple years ago now, at the College Golf Showcase, which was held out at Scottsdale National. It was put on by PXG. Really, really good kid. Really, really solid guy, and delighted that he has had that victory. I want to hear from Minwoo Lee as well. Here, tied for second was Erik van Rooyen, who finishes with that 63, which was incredible. And then Minwoo Lee shoots that 67. But before we jump to him, Dom, let me jump back over to you and find out, are you getting any comments back on the Fairways of Life YouTube page and the question of the day, which I'll allow you to tell us what it is by your phrasing?
Yeah, the question of the day is quite simple. Should golfers cheer on their playing partners? Andrew, put that picture back up of Andrea Lee cheering on Hannah Green after she made that. She basically made a 30-footer on the last hole to win the tournament. Mm-hmm. And you can see her playing partner, who's clearly not going to win, like, yes, way to go. Should we be doing that? Right now it's 81% are yes, which is, I got to be honest, kind of surprising. I thought people would be a little bit more competitively angry about it, but I guess not.
Yeah, but I mean, at that point, I don't know what would have kept her from winning that event. I honestly don't know. She won by what, 5 strokes? So at that point, she makes a 27-plus foot putt to kind of put the cherry on top of the sundae. Why not? Why can't you be happy for someone else's success, Dom? You don't have to be so miserable.
Well, I mean, you can, but, you know, a lifetime of playing and watching sports, it just feels weird to me. You're in the NBA finals and you're the guy you're guarding hits a three. It's like, way to go, man. Nice shot. Now we're losing. It's like, what? It doesn't make any sense to me. Just saying.
Even that, I'm wondering if there isn't some mumbling that you don't hear, that someone's like, hey, nice basket. You know, whatever.
We'll see. I think there's a
81% disagree with you.
I think there's a difference between sportsmanship and cheering. I guess that, maybe I didn't make that clear. I do think there's a divide there. Yeah. There's a difference between being a good sportsman. Like, hey, you know, way to go. You guys beat us in the title game, but we'll get you next time.
You don't think Jack Nicklaus ever said nice putt to somebody? I don't necessarily think Tiger did.
No comment.
Fair enough. All right, so Minwoo Lee shot a final round 67, ends up in a tie for second. I just think the sky's the limit for Minwoo Lee. And this is what he had to say afterwards, reflecting on what just took place.
Yeah, really proud of the way I handled myself this week. Obviously, bad swing on six, five on the when I made a double bogey on the par three, which stung. I was off to a hot start there, and that kind of put me back. So to finish like that and to start after the rain delay like that, really good moment and pat on the back. And looking forward to the next couple of events. Thinking about that. You know, my manager Brent, you know, signed me up for that yesterday, and I saw it on the email. I know he tried to do it on the low, but I did see it, you know, come through the email saying, you know, I was signed up for it just in case I do. I think it was a solo third, so I knew that before last night that I needed to play like that. And it's amazing. I mean, I was thinking about it coming down the stretch, and just obviously thinking about the win, but it was a really proud moment today.
All right, so just before we run the break here, Dom's already yelling at me, we need to take a break. I do want to take a look at the swing five, and I do want to take a look at the next 10, because these are players that have earned their way into the signature event that's going on this week, the Arnold Palmer Invitational. In the next 10, now the only thing, I think one of the things that they need to look at with this is that if you've won, you are going to be exempt into these signature events, then I think that the next 10 should not include players who are already exempt into it otherwise. So you get a more players into it, right? It gets more opportunities. But there you can see the next 10 and the list of players that have secured their way into the Arnold Palmer Invitational this week. And then there is also the Aeon Swing 5. And these players, you can see Sammy Valimaki, there you see Minwoo Lee, CT Penn, Steven Yeager, and Justin Lauer, who was a guest on the show just a couple of days ago, has earned his way into playing at Bay Hill this week. The Fairways of Life show is presented in part by the PGA Tour Superstore. They are the number one golf retailer, coast to coast. If you need it, it's in their big, beautiful stores, whether you swing it, whether you wear it, whether you need to learn from it, and you will be with pros. Shop with the pros at the PGA Tour Superstore, your happy place.
Relax. Easy now. Find your happy place. It's all in the hips. Just tap it in.
Yes!
Find the latest clubs and apparel at Golf's happy place, the PGA Tour Superstore.
In Ireland, golf is more than just a game. Come and experience our world-famous links courses and our world-famous parkland courses, all set alongside world-famous scenery. And visit our world-famous historic sites. And while you're here, enjoy our world-famous hospitality. Fill your heart with Ireland at ireland.com/golf.
It screams. It tracks. It's soft. It reacts. It is the Bridgestone Tour B with a game-changing reactive cover designed to spring faster off your driver and stick longer to your wedges. Try Bridgestone's Tour Bs, the Tour Ball reinvented.
The Gen 6 iron is a culmination of everything that we have learned as a team, the absolute best golf club I've ever hit. It's something special. Say hello to the new PXG Gen 6 iron. The longest, most accurate irons we've ever made. They go higher and farther than any iron that I have hit to date, and they're so easy to hit. Super excited for the consumer to try this. They're gonna love them.
PXG, nobody makes golf clubs the way we do, period.
Baseball? Nah. Football? Done it. I think I'm gonna go after the PGA Tour.
Bo, you're gonna need the right equipment company.
I think I got that.
You know, Tour Edge backs all their clubs with a lifetime warranty.
I know.
They ship all their premium custom clubs in 48 hours.
I know.
All their premium clubs are hand-built in the USA.
I know.
You know, Tour Edge has won 35 times out here.
Guys, I know.
Pound for pound, nothing comes close.
Boyne Golf provides the ultimate world-class golf destination with 10 championship-caliber courses spanning three resorts. Centered in Michigan's northern Lower Peninsula, the courses are the products of some of the game's masters, including Robert Trent Jones Sr., Arthur Hills, and Donald Ross. From the all-inclusive vacation packages, elite instruction with the Boyne Golf Academy, tournaments, and so much more, Boyne Golf truly offers an unrivaled Michigan golf vacation experience. Just log on to BoyneGolf.com.
Welcome back to Fairways of Life Show. Pleasure to have you company from wherever you are joining us. Matt Adams here with you. So during the entire break, Andrew and Dom were arguing over the question of the day. And Dom, as he's prone to do, is trying to change the rules on already, saying there's a difference between sportsmanship and cheering for your opponent. What's the percentage now of people coming back going, oh, it's okay, it's all right to tell somebody they did a nice job?
84% are saying, yes, yeah, it's okay to cheer on your playing partner.
The cutthroat competitor that is Dominic Scarano is dead set against it.
I wouldn't say that. I'm just saying I don't understand. I probably should have said something between sportsmanship and cheering, because I really do believe those are two different things. Being a good sport, you know, you're playing a basketball and someone makes a really good shot over you, it's like, ah, it was a good shot, man. But if that shot was to win the game, yeah, no. You're not getting anything from me.
Well, what if the opponent was already up by 30 points? What if you had no chance
then
to win the game?
Then you're definitely not getting anything from me. I mean, that's a hard pass there from me. I'm overly competitive. I think I'm regular competitive. I'm very regular.
What's interesting with Dom is you do your question of the day, and it's clear that you have a preset view of how it's going to come back. Because when I ask you, like, what's going on, you could tell immediately because you're always like, I can't believe it. I'm so surprised. 84% of people, 84% of people are decent and say, yeah, yeah, it's okay. It's all right. There's nothing
85%
wrong
now, by the way. But yeah,
85%.
No, I do have a preset. I do. I always type the question. I'm like, I know what the answer is to this question. And then the answer is always something.
And oftentimes you don't know what the answer is to that question. All right. So Gary Woodland, too, speaking of feel good stories, which probably aggravates Dom, I don't know. Gary Woodland was named the recipient of the Ben Hogan Award by the Golf Writers Association of America this year in his march back from his recent brain surgery. Now, as to that LPGA victory, Hannah Green was able to secure that victory with that putt on the final hole. It was over 27 feet long. It secured her fourth win on the LPGA. And when she got done, she was explaining to the assemble just how excited she is with what she had secured.
Yeah, I knew that they moved the tee forward on 17, so it wouldn't be too tricky on that hole, but I knew that that was going to be a tough hole to make birdie. But even 18, I had 6-iron in, so it wasn't exactly an easy par. But I didn't really hold many putts from long range today until obviously the last couple holes. But I made a really good birdie on 16, was able to have a 2-putt there, kind of gave my first putt a little bit too much, and then made a 5-footer for birdie, so that was nice. I could then see the leaderboard on 17 green and made a putt there, and then I knew I needed to at least birdie the last to win by one. So as soon as that putt went in, I was just like, oh my God, I've won. Like, I felt bad for the girls that had to putt after that, but yeah, it just all went really, really quickly. Yeah, it's kind of hard not to see the leaderboards on this golf course. When they're bright red and as big as they are, it's hard not to see them, and actually sometimes they're actually the line that you want to take into the greens. So I usually look at leaderboards anyway, so I'm not too concerned. I kind of like to know myself. I don't really know if it dictated my game plans as so much, but I just knew on the greens I needed to be aggressive and make sure I got the putt past the hole versus leaving them short. But it looked like it could be anyone's game come the back nine. I've always loved coming to Singapore. 2021 was my first year, and I almost won the championship. I three-putted 17 and then three-putted 18 to lose by one. So it's a place that I really enjoy coming to. You know, the food is always amazing. The golf course is great, and we've been very fortunate today with the weather to hold up. So, it feels great to have this trophy in my hands. I think you just have to enjoy the sport. It can be one that doesn't give you much success straight away. Even though I've had 4 wins on the LPGA, I think this is now my 11th worldwide, but there's so many hard moments in golf. You know, Celine played amazing today, but she didn't end up having the trophy in her hands, but she still should be really proud of herself for how she performed under the pressure. So you got to take these highs when they come, because it doesn't always come, and golf can be a lonely sport sometimes, but I feel like that's what I've been really good about the last couple of years, is having the right people around me to support me. And there's so many of us Aussies on tour now. It's nice that we get to travel together and have dinner, just have good friendship while we're out playing, because some weeks can be longer than others, for sure.
Wow, that was perfect, because she basically answered the camaraderie that they have as competitors out on the road of the world. Now, Joaquin Niemann has won again at the LIV event. This is funny, because we were having this conversation the other day about picks for the Masters, and Dom had, I think there were 4 players that I wasn't allowed to pick from. I said, Joaquin Niemann's my pick. And then he had the next day. Remember, it was like, do you want to change your pick? I don't want to change my pick. So he's going to the Masters. He's already been granted a special invitation, and Rex Hargard at NBCSports.com wrote this: LIV Golf's Joaquin Niemann granted special invite into the PGA Championship. This is from the 4th. He writes, PGA of America's spokesperson confirmed that LIV Golf's Joaquin Neiman has been granted a special invitation to play in this year's PGA Championship. The invitation was first reported by GolfWorks.com. 2 weeks ago, Augusta National granted the Chilean a special invitation to play in the Masters. And the move by the PGA of America to invite Neiman, who qualified for the Open Championship by his victory at the Australian Open in December, now means he's qualified for three of this year's four major championships. The PGA of America normally invites players who are ranked inside the top 100 in the world to the year's second major. Last year, eight players from LIV Golf, which does not receive world ranking points, were granted special invitations, including number 131 Paul Casey. Neiman, who currently ranks 72nd in the world, has two victories in LIV Golf this season, including last week in Saudi Arabia. The PGA Championship will be held May 16th to 19th at the Valhalla Golf Club in Louisville, Kentucky. So after he finished up, Joaquin had this reflection on the latest victory.
Yeah, it's given me a lot of confidence. And I mean, obviously having a good week is always positive. And I think I got to go back and, yeah, I mean, get some rest, look back into what I did this week, the way I played, the way I hit the ball, and what I can do better. So I think that was one of the advice I remember in Mayakoba, I was with Don on the press conference, and he was talking about it, that when you win, you're so excited that you don't really notice what you did well and didn't do well. So kind of made me so much sense what he said, that I mean, he was right. So I think there is a lot of positive things that I got to take from this week, obviously, because of winning, and see what I can do better for next week. And, yeah, like I say, also in Mexico, I would love to be in this situation, but having the three other guys here next to me, it would be a lot more fun.
Congratulations to Bryson DeChambeau's team, as you saw in the graphic, wins on the team side of the competition. All right, as the Fairways of Life show continues on this Tuesday, when we come back, we're going to be joined by an absolute legend, a member of the World Golf Hall of Fame, and a record holder in many different regards. Stay with us. More coming up right after this.
Relax.
Easy now. Find your happy place. It's all in the hips. Just tap it in.
Yes!
Find the latest clubs and apparel at Golf's Happy Place, the PGA Tour Superstore.
In Ireland, golf is more than just a game. Come and experience our world-famous Lynx courses and our world-famous Parkland courses, all set alongside world-famous scenery. And visit our world-famous historic sites. And while you're here, enjoy our world-famous hospitality. Fill your heart with Ireland at ireland.com/golf.
It screams. It tracks. It's soft. It reacts. It is the Bridgestone Tour B with a game-changing reactive cover designed to spring faster off your driver and stick longer to your wedges. Try Bridgestone's Tour Bs, the Tour Ball reinvented.
The Gen 6 iron is a culmination of everything that we have learned as a team, the absolute best golf club I have ever hit. It's something special. Say hello to the new PXG Gen 6 iron. The longest, most accurate irons we've ever made. They go higher and farther than any iron that I have hit to date, and they're so easy to hit. Super excited for the consumer to try this. They're gonna love them.
PXG, nobody makes golf clubs the way we do, period.
Baseball? Nah. Football? Done it. I think I'm gonna go after the PGA Tour.
Bo, you're gonna need the right equipment company.
I think I got that.
You know, Tour Edge backs all their clubs with a lifetime warranty.
I know.
They ship all their premium custom clubs in 48 hours.
I know.
All their premium clubs are hand-built in the USA.
I know.
You know, Tour Edge has won 35 times out here.
Guys, I know.
Pound for pound, nothing comes close.
Boyne Golf provides the ultimate world-class golf destination with 10 championship-caliber courses spanning three resorts. Centered in Michigan's northern Lower Peninsula, the courses are the products of some of the game's masters, including Robert Trent Jones Sr., Arthur Hills, and Donald Ross. From the all-inclusive vacation packages, elite instruction with the Boyne Golf Academy, tournaments, and so much more, Boyne Golf truly offers an unrivaled Michigan golf vacation experience. Just log on to boynegolf.com.
Zero Friction introduces the Wheel Pro Pushcart Golf Bag with its revolutionary 3-in-1 design, supportive legs that spring into action, a comfort grip handle with three locking positions, accessories for the modern golfer enhanced by 7 pockets for more storage, and removable all-terrain wheels which slide right into place. The new Zero Friction Wheel Pro Golf Bag checks every box for every golfer. Push, carry, or cart, the decision is yours thanks to Zero Friction. Head to ZeroFriction.com today. Welcome back to the Fairways of Life show. 87% of you are saying that it's okay to give a little support to your competitor. Somebody on social media wrote to me and was like, Matt, she made that putt to win by one over Celine Boutte. I know. But the one that's cheering for her was 5 shots behind. Andrea, it's okay. Because that was a great putt by Hannah Green. But anyway, 87% of you currently are saying, no, it's okay. I am absolutely pumped for our next guest. He's a member of the World Golf Hall of Fame. In his career, ready for this? He has 123 professional victories. 42 European Tour wins. That's second all time. 46 PGA Tour Champions wins, first all time. Passing the unpassable Hale Irwin. That gives it away, right, that it's Bernhard Langer coming up. A 2-time Masters champion in 1985 and 1993. A member of 10 Ryder Cup teams with a record of 21-15-6, winning 24 points overall. 2004 European Ryder Cup captain, and that was a 18.5-9.5 victory. That was against Hal Sutton at Oakland Hills. He was captain of the U.S. side, obviously. Bernhard has 512 European Tour starts, 326 PGA Tour starts, 341 PGA Tour champion starts, and that's 1,179 starts since he turned professional in 1972. This is a player that has won for decades and decades and decades. It's an honor. It's a pleasure to welcome Bernhard Langer to the show. So, Bernhard, first, let me start with how are you feeling? How are you healing up?
Good morning, Matt. I'm feeling great. My surgery was 4 weeks ago, and I'm doing very well. Everything is going according to plan or even better. So I'm excited to be, actually yesterday was the first time in 4.5 weeks that I took some steps without holding on to anything, no crutches, no scooter, and that was pretty exciting. So it will be a process, but I am very positive and enjoying my time at home.
I have to tell you, I don't think anybody is or would be surprised to learn that you're ahead of schedule on your rehab. May I ask you, what happened? How did you get the injury?
I was playing pickleball here at Woodford Country Club where I live. And I was very much warmed up. We had already played 1.5 hours. And just somebody was trying to lob me. And I took a couple of steps backward, hit the ball. And as I came down, I heard a loud pop. I knew pretty much immediately what happened because I had seen it before. A friend of mine was shooting hoops, and when he landed on with his foot, I heard this gunshot almost noise, and he had popped or torn his Achilles tendon. So I knew right away what it was.
And what is the status now? You mentioned that you were able to take a few steps. Are you wearing a boot, or how does the healing process go so that you don't provide any additional trauma or injury to the area?
Right. That's a great question. And it's amazing how much they've learned over the years. First of all, I think my surgeon, Dr. Hodgkins, did a great job here at Miami Baptist Hospital. And I was never in a cast. I was only in a boot, which is important because you can take the boot off. I was doing rehab 3 days after surgery, and we're just progressing every day, every week. We add more things. The boot has an angle to it because they don't want your toes up. They want your toes down initially to put less stress on the Achilles. And that degree of down is becoming less and less and less. And I think this coming Friday, my foot will, or the boot will go to neutral, which is basically, you know, what you have just standing normally. And then I will make start exercises to get into a regular shoe soon and be able to walk and stand without any help.
I'm sure that you could appreciate, Bernhard, the irony of you being injured, because you just seemed like the iron horse forever on tour. But it takes me back to a conversation that you and I had some time ago where you were explaining to us, I've had major injury before. And if I remember correctly, it was when you were serving in the Army, and I believe you went out for a run and you had a heavy pack on. You want to share with the world what happened to that young Bernhard Langer then?
Yeah, I didn't go for a run. I was in the boot camp the first 3 months. I had to do 15 months of national service. I was in the Air Force. And that particular morning, it was a January morning, very cold and frost on the grounds. And we were told to get our backpack together with certain things that weighed about 25 pounds and grab our rifle, and we would be marching out on the frozen fields all day long, going through the countryside. And then the guy in charge just said, today one of our exercises is if an enemy airplane, low-flying enemy airplane, is shooting machine gun bullets at you, you throw yourself on the ground as quickly as you can. So he showed us one time, and he threw himself straight on the stomach, which isn't much fun when you have a backpack and a rifle. So there's no way to protect yourself to fall or throwing yourself down. So initially, I would throw myself sort of on the side and then roll on my stomach. Mm-hmm. And about an hour into it, he caught me and said, "What's your name?" And I said, "Langer." He goes, "Come here. How did I tell you to do this?" And so I had to do 20 extra. Make a long story short, we did this hundreds of times during 8 hour period of walking around the countryside, basically. And next morning I couldn't get out of bed. First they saw that I was just lazy or you know, didn't want to be part of the routine today. And I said, no, I can't move. I was trying to move my foot to roll out of bed. It wouldn't move. I was trying to move my arm. It didn't move. I was in excruciating pain. So they finally realized that it was real, and they sent an ambulance, got me to the hospital, and realized that I had a stress fracture in my lower back, L4,
oh,
L5, and two bulging discs. And this was 19 years old. So I played 1 year on tour, and then I had to do military service. And now I got this injury, and I thought, well, I'm done. I'm never going to play professional golf again. You can't hit thousands of balls with a stress fracture and bulging discs and stuff in your lower back. But after 6 weeks of being hospitalized, I came back, did some rehab, and eventually got better, not having surgery. So that was amazing. And I did have many occasions during my career when that lower back acted up till I met a doctor in a pro-am at the Munich tournament on the European Tour. And he said, I can probably help you. And he did. He gave me a couple of injections that created scar tissue to strengthen the worn-out ligaments. And ever from that point on, I've hardly ever had back problems. And this is 25, 30 years ago now. So I was very fortunate to run into the right guy at the right time.
Absolutely fascinating. There is another sad irony with your most recent injury and surgery, too, of course. And that relates to the Masters. This was going to be a grand year for you, Bernhard. And now, of course, you are laid up. Surely you'll be there for the dinner on Tuesday night. But I'm just curious about where your heart, where your mind, where your emotions are now with what took place and how that impacts your plans.
You know, I as I said, I'm a very positive guy. I look at the bright side of life, and I will be just blessed to be at the Masters, be part of the dinner, and visit with some of my sponsors, hang out with my family, and just enjoy the tournament from a different point of view, where you don't actually hit a shot, but still take it in, soak it in. So that's the good thing. I should be able to walk at that point in time, but not be able to play with competitive golf. I should be able to chip and putt and hit a few balls, but I wouldn't be ready. So that's the goal. I also plan to play my last European Tour event in Munich. I grew up near Munich. This is about an hour away from where I grew up. That's going to be in, I believe, end of June or July. So I should be able to do that, to basically say my farewell to the European Tour, the regular tour. I might still play a few senior events over there. And so it was a big year. I'm also exempt into the US Open at Pinehurst, by the way of winning the US Senior Open last year. And that's still questionable whether I'm going to be participating or not. So we will do the best of it, but I'm, you know, the goal is to heal up 100% and then come back whenever I'm ready and still enjoy a few more years on the Champions Tour, which is a great place to play golf.
I hope you do enjoy those years, because when you enjoy those years, we enjoy getting to see you play. More with the legend that is Bernhard Langer right after this.
I guess hello world, huh?
And with one subtle hello, Tiger began an amazing and unthinkable career.
I've done it for 20 years now with Bridgestone. It allows me to play an aggressive style around the greens, and it's allowed me to win a lot of tournaments.
Bridgestone Golf, proud to be part of your journey.
Boyne Golf provides the ultimate world-class golf destination with 10 championship-caliber courses spanning three resorts. Centered in Michigan's northern Lower Peninsula, the courses are the products of some of the game's masters, including Robert Trent Jones Sr., Arthur Hills, and Donald Ross. From the all-inclusive vacation packages, elite instruction with the Boyne Golf Academy, tournaments, and so much more, Boyne Golf truly offers an unrivaled Michigan golf vacation experience. Just log on to boynegolf.com.
I think when you're training for other sports, or why most people go to the gym is so that they can like have muscles and, you know, be strong and be healthy. And a lot of the reason why they struggle to play golf is their body doesn't move properly for them to be able to hit a golf ball. And when you're training for golf, it's a little bit different, because you're focused more on flexibility and mobility and being strong in motion. When you're able to kind of have a warm up and have a workout routine and kind of gradually build up to where you're training your body to move properly, yeah, you're going to get a lot of big dividends on the golf course.
Easy now. Find your happy place. It's all in the hips. Just tap it in.
Yes!
Find the latest clubs and apparel at Golf's Happy Place, the PGA Tour Superstore.
What if we started a company and the company was under no time constraints, no financial constraints? The one constraint is their clubs had to be exceptional performers and much better than any other alternative. I was told time and again, it'll never work. It worked like a house of fire. And I'll tell you what, I think our customers love it. BXG, nobody makes golf clubs the way we do, period.
Stride by Zero Friction, the first of its kind personal caddy. Walk in comfort and style with Stride's remote and follow me technology. The Stride handles almost any terrain, and its 54-hole range will last all day. The lightweight design and removable front wheels makes it simple to handle. Plus, it easily fits golf carts. Order yours and save. Visit zerofriction.com/stride or scan the QR code to order yours today. Stride, your personal caddy.
As we welcome you back to the Fairways of Life show, our guest is World Golf Hall of Fame member, multiple-time major champion, Bernhard Langer. So, Bernhard, when I'm taking this is the first time that you've had a layup like this where you really can't do what you love to do or want to do. You can't work out. You can't practice. You can't play. You've got to just chill. You've got to let your body heal. So I'm curious where your mind goes when you think back on your own career. Is it recently eclipsing Hale Irwin with what you did on the Champs Tour, which is just mind-blowing with the 46 victories? Is it something else in your storied career? But when you have a moment, which you were forced to do, where you can reflect, where's your mind going?
Yeah, that's another great question, Matt. It's actually the second time I've been laid off. I had some surgery in 2011 that took literally 8 months till it was pain-free. So this will hopefully not take quite that long. So, and then we had COVID where we were shut down. So it's not the very first time. And but I do reflect on, you know, the last 50 years as a professional golfer. For me, and it's been an incredible blessing. It's been a great challenge from coming from a country like Germany, where golf is nothing. Nobody knows much about golf or didn't 50 years ago. When I said I'm a professional golfer, they thought I was playing putt-putt, you know, miniature golf. People had no idea. It's changed a little bit now. So it's very, very fortunate, very blessed. And as I look back, what strikes me the most is certain things have happened in my life where the right people came in to the right time to encourage me, to guide me. And to me, this is not a coincidence. It's all God ordained because too many of those things have happened. And so I'm extremely blessed. And sometimes people ask me, you know, what are the best victories or the most meaningful? And, you know, everybody thinks it's the Masters and it's the big major championships. And yes, they're important, but sometimes to me, you know, my very first tournament I won as a 17-year-old may be just as important, or winning the father-son tournament 5 times means a great deal to me because I'm out there with my sons and my daughters, competing with other legends in the game, and so many other things that have happened in my life. So it's been an amazing ride and truly blessed to end up, you know, marrying an American and to live in this great country of the USA, living down here in South Florida where the weather is phenomenal and get to play golf every day if you want, pretty much. It's been such an amazing thing for me to enjoy and to meet all these great people on the golf circuit, because I'm a strong believer that golf teaches you to be humble, golf teaches you to be honest, and many other great things. So I'm excited for the First Tee program because these young people learn a lot of great things that are very helpful for their whole life.
Indeed. We only have a couple minutes left here, but you described yourself as a positive person multiple times today. What do you feel about the state of the game? I realize you don't have a lot of time to answer this, but what do you feel about where the game is right now, and what's the positive spin on that?
Yeah, it's positive. The only positive I see is the professionals are making a lot more money. I don't see a lot of other positive things at this point in time, but I'm not really too involved. I'm not on the committees or the boards that make all the decisions, but I don't think LIV Golf was great for the game of golf. It's not really here to unite the game or make it that much better. That's my point of view. It caused a lot of division and friction. As I said, the only good thing that came out of it, the guys that play on the LIV Tour and the top guys on the PGA Tour make a lot more money than they did 2 or 3 years ago.
All right, before we say goodbye to you and thank you for your time today, Bernhard, let's ask you about your sponsors so we have an opportunity to say thank you to them in the minute we have left.
Yeah, so I'm very grateful for all the people that have supported me for many, many years, especially Mercedes and Bernberg and Tour Edge. And USLBM, and you know, there have been many, many others. I'm going to forget a few probably, but very grateful. Met some wonderful people in pro-ams that led to more. And we have great relationships with Rolex, for instance, and several others. So, look forward to extending those relationships and have some good times together.
Well, looking forward to seeing you down the road at Augusta, and we wish you the very, very best in your continued healing, and thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure. Thanks, Matt. All the best.
It was good to see you. Okay, Dom, this is your opportunity. Let's find out what the people had to say to the big question of the day. Is it okay to cheer for your opponent in sports? I paraphrased it, but I know you actually asked the question slightly differently, yes?
I did. It should golfers cheer for their playing partners? And right now the answers are coming in. I think officially it's at 85%. I think I affected those numbers. I feel like people are voting against me right now.
Well, yes.
I think there's a difference. I think there's a difference between sportsmanship and cheering. I really believe that. You know, if your opponent makes a hole in one, that's great. It's a big moment. But if they made a hole in one to beat you, no, thank you. Not getting a high five from me.
There you go. That coming from Dom. So coming up this week, it is the Arnold Palmer Invitational Week. And don't forget that the clips that we were showing you of Mr. Palmer and the interview that we did with him, you can find that on our Fairways of Life YouTube channel if you want to watch the whole interview. We do hope to feature the entire interview this week. We'll let you know because we still have more Hall of Fame members coming up. And what you may find of interest here, not just Hall of Fame members in the world of golf, but those who've come from other sports that are very much impacting the game of golf right now. Thank you so much for your company, folks. Always a pleasure to spend part of the day with you. We'll be back with you again tomorrow. Until then, goodbye for now.